Hey, you're listening to Blindsight. Let's go. Mental health isn't something to take lightly. It's time to fight. It's time to thrive. Let's do this.
Welcome to Blindsight. This is your host, Bill Lundgren, and I'm really looking forward at, you know, we've been doing all the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and really trying to broaden the understanding of the steps in relation to life in general. And we're up now to step seven, and we have with us the man who started it off at step one, Jeff Lund, and he is on the staff at the Betty Ford Center in Palm Springs, which I hope is celebrating very warm weather as opposed to what, you know, may be going on right now. But anyway, how are you, Jeff? Welcome.
Hi, Bill. It's great to be here. I am well. Thank you for having me again. And I must say, we are experiencing some just beyond lovely weather here. So, no complaints whatsoever.
Good, good. Well, Jeff, could you read us the step seven that we're going to talk about today?
Beautiful. I would be honored. Step seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings.
Hearing that, I'm thinking, I have this picture of higher powers sitting there and saying, you know, if Lundgren were to say this, I don't have that much time to get rid of all of his shortcomings. But of course, you don't have any shortcomings, Jeff, so you didn't have to go through
this. No, and you know, it's and in all the years I've known you, yes. Well, he doesn't have all the time to remove all of yours, and I do say that tongue in cheek, all of our shortcomings.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, and I think it's important to add, I mean, even though in, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, the, you know, the wording is ask him, capital H, to remove all of our shortcomings. I think it's important for people to understand or that him can be your higher power, and no matter what that looks like to you. So even though it may have a religious take on that word, I mean, it can be whatever you call your higher power, you know, you're something greater than ourselves. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And absolutely. And what was it like for you when you did that step?
Well, you know, it took me a while to thoroughly work the steps, and you know, and you had me on when we were talking about step one. And I think step one, I mean, obviously when they wrote the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I mean, there is a reason that they had written them and placed them in a certain order. And looking back, I mean, everything makes sense. But I grew up Catholic. I had gone to Catholic grade school. I went to a Jesuit high school. So, I mean, I went to church every Sunday, and I think asking him to remove my, defects. I think when I finally was in recovery, finally took the step seriously, I think looking at the seventh step, and it was important to me. And I love the seventh step prayer. And if I may read it,
yeah,
because
please.
I think it's not long, but I think it's part of my morning meditation or morning, a part of my prayer routine, if you will, in the morning. And I'm sober a little over 21 years, celebrated 22 years January 1st. But, you know, I think this is just, I just love this prayer. And the prayer reads, "My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove me from every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen." And I, for me, that those words resonate because I'm asking, and my higher power, I call God, I ask him to remove every single defect of character. I know that I have, I mean, we all have, I have them. I'll stick with me. But it's really about help me to really be a better person so I can be a better, I can be of use, I can be of help to my fellow man who may need my help just today. You know, like we really don't have to go forever, but let's just deal with today and deal with my defects today. And hopefully my defects get smaller and smaller, but that's not always the case, you know? And it's not, and it really gives you the power to say, yeah, you know what? I recognize this defect of character, right? Which when, as we grow in recovery, we get a better handle, or I can see my part in things. And it's like, boy, when I, you know, if I get irritated or frustrated with someone else, it's like, well, what is that really looking at? That's a defect that I have, you know, defect could be.
What do you mean if we're seeing someone else's shortcoming and then you say it has to do with me, everybody likes to blame somebody else for something that's going on, but how do you put that in your understanding of your shortcoming?
Well, it can be, why am I so, like if I'm irritated with someone, why am I so irritated with someone? It, you know, and it could be, am I not explaining something clearly enough? Really... Mm-hmm.
If there's something going on that I'm causing this impasse or whatever.
And I think we need to look at ourselves, and not that everything we do and say is always our fault, because sometimes people just don't understand what we're saying or what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to, you know, leave it to me or talk, you know. But, yeah, and I do get frustrated. It's like, well, I need you to do this. And it's like, well, what do you need? And it's like, well, just do A, B, and C without explaining what I need done. And if they don't understand it, they can't accomplish the task. But if I'm not explaining it thoroughly, then it's we're talking two different languages.
I see.
But I need to look at myself and say, wow, okay, I need to work on that. I think we all have something that we can work on, you know, and you don't have to you don't have to call them defects of character, but it's like, I think we all have something that we need to work on.
To work on, right. So, if somebody's not understanding, it may be what we're doing instead of them not being competent, which would be the go-to place we might use to put it on them, rather than saying, oh, now wait a minute, you're being impatient and trying to get this job done and you're not explaining it thoroughly. That is right. Where the character defect, if you will, is on us.
Right. Or exactly, you know, say I have something that I need to get done today, but if I'm procrastinating and putting it off,
right,
And now I want you to finish, you know, help me get this done. And I'm like, Bill, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I either don't have time right now, or I can't do it, or I don't understand. And it's like, well, Bill, you know, why can't you just do this for me now? And that's my fault I just expect everyone to actually be a mind reader.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. you're supposed to know what I'm thinking and saying and needing. And that's not the case. So
that very helpful explanation. And I like your prayer too. But one of the things I was thinking about in the course of going through all these steps, you're up to step 7. And I would think that by the time you get to step 7 and you ask for help with the shortcoming, you would get some relief, if you will, because you're recognizing your shortcomings, you're asking for help in getting rid of them, and that's got to be somewhat a mood elevator, so to speak. Am I not right?
Well, and I think absolutely. And the thing is, it's like, yes, I have these defects of character, and which just proves that I don't have to be superhuman, or right. I don't have to know everything. I don't have to be perfect, and no one can be perfect and know everything and do right. everything. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, it's like saying I need help, which is really the whole, I think yeah. asking for help in recovery is a huge part of it, saying, I can't do this alone. I need help.
Right.
And I need you to help me. But I need to tell you what I need help with
right.
and not expect you to know what I need.
But I think also as we, in this point of the game, so to speak, there may be some people who are not feeling that great about themselves. And it may be, and we haven't talked about this so far, but I think that we need to just remember if things are not working for you, if the steps are not working for you, it may be you need to feel comfortable with asking for help, not only from your higher power, but some professional help, whether it's a treatment program or a therapist, because so many people who have addictions, for example, are what we call dual diagnosis. That is, they may have depression, which is separate from the addiction, but it feeds into it. And it helps, and it makes it very difficult for us to go through the work that it takes to heal through the 12 steps.
Absolutely. And it's important to know when to ask for that help and to seek it out, you know, and there's no shame in knowing it's like, okay, I'm sober today, but something I need a different kind. You know, it's not just not picking up a drink today. There's other kinds of help that I may need. And you're absolutely right. Many of our patients, it's like we help them get sober or get free of drugs. But that's kind of like the tip of the iceberg to recovery. And it's really, What more help? What more tools can we help offer you with? And a lot of times it's to seek outside help. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's and absolutely seeing a therapist, but finding the therapist that fits you can sometimes be tricky, just like finding the right path to recovery. You know, or like when you do go to meetings, right? Whether it's Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or any kind of support group that you're going to. And it's like, if you go to one and find out that it, you're not really jiving with it, or it's not for you, that doesn't mean they're all the same. Then you have to keep trying, and you have to keep going. So you just can't say, I went to one meeting, or I talked to one professional, and they just didn't understand me, so it doesn't work. Well,
right. So it can really be, you know,
a little more complex or trickier than that. You just got to keep kind of trudging through.
So we're saying we're not only asking for help. We may need to ask not only for a higher power to help us, but also some of the professionals, maybe more time with your sponsor to try to figure out what's going on. And is it just
exactly
the recovery process? It may be more complex than that, but these are all soluble. Absolutely. I know in the old days, I don't know if it's true now, but some true blue people in AA used to look down on those members who admit that they're taking an antidepressant or whatever, but that's, you know, if that's what you need and the professional is prescribing it, that's what you need to do. Take it and take it responsibly, but not to feel shame for that.
Well, and I think you make a very good point that in some circles, yes. So you'll have those people that don't know what they're talking about when it comes to medication. And if you are on medication, then you're not sober. You're not clean and sober. And the reason you are sober or you clean from drugs is because of the medication. So, right. I think it's so important to, to seek out the group of people that are going to be your support system, because not everyone may be on the same wavelength as you, or you might be afraid to say, hey, I'm taking, an antidepressant, or I'm taking some kind of medication for my anxiety. And the thing is, yeah, it's I need that to live my successful life.
Right, so, and it's not in violation of any formulation or whatever. It's doing something that helps you do the program better. Because if you're suffering from depression, you can't really do the process in the way that is going to be helpful to you.
Exactly, and I think having a sponsor is very important. And working with your sponsor, of course, is also very important. But the thing is, your sponsor is someone who is to help you work through the 12 steps of, say, AA or NA or CA, whatever your group you're belonging to. And really, they're not experts. They're not trained professionals, such as yourself, Bill. They don't have the education of treating someone who may need medication for certain diagnoses that will help them stay sober. So we need to really stay in our lane and do what we're supposed to do. I mean, because, I wouldn't go to my heart surgeon to fix my car, right? Same way I wouldn't ask my sponsor, who's personally a great guy. He's a photographer, but he doesn't know anything about diagnosing mental health. I mean, I wouldn't ask him what kind of medication I should be on if I do need it. So you really need to, have that team or that tribe safely around you.
So if I take the step and turn it, when you look at the steps, there's a lot of turning over that goes on there. And of course, in the next one, we start really trying to work the step with step eight, which fortunately we're going to have you back for next week. We have to be looking at ourselves very, very closely. That's the, I think, the critical point is, you know, we in the old days used to be happy-go-lucky, and we didn't look at ourselves very closely. We didn't pay attention to what we were doing, including, misuse chemicals, but we weren't paying attention. And, you know, and now what I'm hearing as we go through the step is that we're paying attention to who we are and what we do in a way that we never did before. Am I getting that accurately?
I think you are very accurate, and we really are looking at ourselves now and really who we are. You're absolutely right. So, and it might be, we might like some things, we might not like some things about who we are, but that's the beauty of the whole program, right? So we can change. We can ask for help and say, oh gosh, you know, I need help in this department, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how did you get through it? That's the beauty of talking to the people that have gone before us in this program, and say, you know, you've shared that you've had issues with, you know, again, X, Y, and Z, maybe depression, anxiety, whatever. Well, how did you get through it?
Right.
You know, can you help me? And it's like, wow, that's a great idea.
And I think, too, that when we, you know, we've tried to, in many ways, to generalize the program for everybody. And I think one of the, this particular step, the steps having to do with recognizing our defects, it doesn't matter whether we come to it from alcoholism or sex addiction or whatever it is. This is general what we as humans need to do, be willing to do, to look at ourselves and say, when we see those things which are not helpful in our interactions with other people, humans are social beings, and we need to live with other social beings. And the only way we can do that is by being responsible, by being, I think, kind, and be watchful of any deficit that's going to interfere with our relationship with other people. That's really what, you know, the bottom line.
Absolutely. And that's a great point. In fact, you've talked about other addictions, and I was talking about alcohol and drugs, but I mean that this step seven works for just any kind of addiction or obsession. And you're absolutely right.
And for living. The thing that we have within the blindness community, of course, is, you know, we can feel real bad about ourselves if we're like, unfortunately, the majority of people with blindness, we're not working. And we're kind of feeling like we can't do anything. And we may get into roles where there's somebody who's going to take care of us, and that can be wearing after a while. So we have to then look at, okay, what are we doing? Am I using what talents I have? And I think everybody has some sort of talent, but how, you know, in a way, humbly ask that higher power to help us not only to get rid of our deficits, but to find our positive things and to utilize them in the best way possible. It's not in the steps, but in many ways, when you do the inventory, I hope, you know, people are looking at the good parts of them as well as the, you know, the negatives, and be able to say, okay, ask that higher power to help me utilize what I have to offer, and to feel comfortable to do that. Is that a exactly. useful way of using that seventh step? Not just to take away our shortcoming, but, you know, add a couple extra words and say, help us with our to develop our positive parts.
Absolutely. You know, it's not a, this, you know, this step seven's not a punitive step.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think you're absolutely right that it can help us being positive and like you say, utilizing our positive aspects. So, and again, we all have them.
Yeah. Yeah. We may forget, but we have them. Well, in terms of, you know, you said you've been sober 22 years. In that period of time, when you look back at yourself and the deficits, you know, as you asked a higher power to take away, and look at yourself now, how do you feel about yourself?
That's a good question. You know, I feel good about myself. I like myself, but I know that not every day is perfect. And that's, I don't like that word, but I don't do the steps perfectly. And I still have shortcomings, but that's okay. I accept myself. And I do have shortcomings, and it's like, okay, I just, you know, I think the longer we're in recovery, the more we know ourselves and the more we know what we have to work on. But that's okay. That means we're growing. That mm-hmm. means we're changing. And it may not always be pleasant to realize. And I think, gosh, I'm still, you know, I still have that right. defect of character. You know, it's sometimes one step forward, two step back, or, you know, but we're hopefully going in a positive direction. So, you know.
And part of it is accepting ourselves, but not without reservation. In other words, the reservation said, yeah, I'm not a perfect human being, but I certainly, as I'm hearing you say, in comparison to 22 years ago, I have to give myself a positive feeling that I've done some work.
Right. Right. I mean, I'm better than I was 22 years ago. I certainly hope so. There may be people that disagree with me, but I think so.
One of the things that I experience as a therapist with clients in recovery, particularly those who've had, you know, a certain amount of recovery, there have been a few that have said, you know, I've had to do step four again. I had to do X step again.
Yeah.
Because now that I'm more recovered, I'm discovering some things that I didn't think about back at that time. And I think that's true because we kind of, you know, we kind of, self-preservation, we kind of gloss over some of the things that that we've done and not realize, oh, that's what we're talking about when we say a deficit or whatever. I didn't realize it then, but I know it now and I need to own it.
Right. And I think like, you know, like you were talking like about step four, right? I mean, if we're making a list of our, you know, moral inventory, at the time you didn't think about it, or it wasn't, you know, right. But you're absolutely right. The longer we are, in recovery, it's like, oh yeah, I really do need to do a more thorough inventory. I need to look at other things that I need to eventually, hopefully, make amends for, because I forgot about them, you know, or I didn't want to look at it then.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I know people who you can, you know, the good thing is you can always go back and redo the steps. There's no crime in that, and actually no charge either. So,
yeah.
You know.
And so, you know, we're just getting to know ourselves better, and we have to say, oh, wait a minute, I did in that time, and I sort of glossed over it, but now I'm going to say, yeah. Okay, and this is helpful, too, when we go into the eighth step, where we say, oh, do I need to make amends for that? I didn't know about it then, but maybe it's time that I have to do something with it and get clean the slate, so to speak.
Right. And it's amazing how good you feel when you do that, or when how good I feel when I do that, you know, because I know if it's hanging over my head, it's there, and it's, mm-hmm. I have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So.
And it's that. That unfinished business that, you know, we will get a chance to do it in its right time.
Yep. That's why there's no race, I believe, to you know, doing all 12 steps. It's, you know, some people want to do them like a step a month, or right. they put these demands on themselves. Right, Bill? And it's like, no, you should do them thoroughly, honestly, and really think about them. And it's not like you're just checking off all these things just to get them done, because that's not what this is about. So
it's not a race.
No, it is not. Not at all. So.
And I also like the idea, you know, as you say in your prayer, to reminding yourself with the prayers, you know, that you will have, you know, the deficit, so to speak, but you're asking for help in on a daily basis. Say, you know, I want to not be perfect, but I want to be the best that I can be. And some people have real difficulty with the idea of being the best that they can be. They think they've been told by their parents or whatever to be perfect. And that's unachievable.
Well, absolutely. And I think once you realize that, it's like, okay, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm the best Jeff I can be today, right now.
And that's good enough.
And that is good enough. You're absolutely right. So.
This has been great, Jeff. I'm looking forward to having a chance to do step 8 next week and to have you back on again. But I wanted to ask you some, what are your closing thoughts for this, talking about step 7?
I think for me, step 7 is really just accepting who I am with flaws. I mean, I'm not, let's just leave it at that. Accepting who I am with my defects, with my flaws, but I'm still okay, you know, and I may not get rid of all of them, but I know I have work to do, but if I can just be the best Jeff, even with my flaws today, I'm doing okay. So,
yeah, I feel, what we're not ignoring the things we need to get better, but we're owning them and continue to try to get better. But know that that's just what we have to do, not be perfect.
Right. And if you accept that, I mean, I won't be perfect ever. So but if I can, you know, again, work through and just be the best I can, then that's a good day.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, and more opportunities for growth. What's the AA philosophy, progress, not perfection. And on that note, this is Bill Lundgren, your host of Blind Sight. We want people to let us know, give us feedback on how the program is going for them, what kinds of things you may be learning and are pleased with, things that you think we need to improve. We certainly would be delighted to have your feedback. There are two ways you can do that. One is to use our hotline, which is 720-712-8856, or email feedback@aftersight.org. We welcome your comments, your suggestions, ideas for other programs. Glad to have you aboard and listening. I just found out my niece has been listening to this program, so I have to say thank you for tuning in to my niece in Florida. But to all of you, wish you a good week and look forward to having you listen to Jeff and me next week. Thank you.